It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Hong Kong residents forming a human chain along the waterfront Monday night. Their chant, fight for freedom, stand with Hong Kong. The concern here is there could be real trouble Tuesday. It's the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China by the Communist Party. Pro-democracy protesters have vowed to continue their four-month-long fight against local authorities and Beijing.
They are pushing Hong Kong people, even the conventional peaceful types, to take to the street tomorrow.
It was certainly ugly on a tear gas-filled Sunday.
You're looking at a face-off on one of the main roads in Hong Kong this Sunday afternoon. At one end, protesters with umbrellas ready because of the tear gas, which will be shot by police. Up on the overpass, there are the police. They are saying, warning, this is about to all kick off again. The police do not want anything to happen.
Some 150 people were arrested and 25 injured. Among the crowds, the U.S. flag was carried, a symbol of the freedom they're fighting for. Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam has given ground, but officials are holding out against growing violence.
The social unrest in Hong Kong will need to be resolved. The violence must be stopped.
Chinese President Xi Jinping declared today Hong Kong can still manage its own affairs. But with a massive military parade planned, the last thing he wants is chaos Tuesday in one of his crown jewel territories, setting up a showdown.
October 1st may be the deadline for the Hong Kong government to handle the situation.
Just behind us is the Hong Kong Convention Center, where a super secure indoor ceremony marking the anniversary will be held. The roads around here already closed off. The city open for danger.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was Greg Palcott from Fox News last night. So already demonstrators are in the streets by the hundreds of thousands in Hong Kong wearing black. This is the 70th year in power for the communist dictatorship. And so, you know, Hong Kong has been free since the British really controlled Hong Kong for decades and then gave it back over to the Chinese in 1997 with the whole idea that it would be one country but two separate forms of government, one, the island of Hong Kong being free and the mainland not being free. But, of course, we've seen what's happened. The mainland has seeped in now and is trying to take control over the free people of Hong Kong. And one of the reasons I wanted to start the show with us today is I just wanted you to understand that there is turmoil around the world and that we are not the only people fighting for what's right. I told you what Gordon Chang and his wife gave a briefing at the Eagle Council just a couple of weeks ago for Eagle Forum. And they were talking about, they just came back from Hong Kong, about the protesters and how remarkable they were. And I've told you before that many of them are Christians. I'm not saying that the protests are Christian as such, but many of those protesting are strong Christian believers who are singing, you know, like worship choruses. You see them dressed in black, and they are fighting for their lives. King Chung, who is a 57-year-old homemaker, and they're bringing in, it's teachers, it's people who work in hospitals. I heard it the estimate that 80% of the people in Hong Kong support these protests. And remember, these people demonstrating in the street are probably, arguably, as spoiled as we are. And by that, I mean as terms of goods and services and the ease of their life, all the electronic devices you can imagine, new clothes. Hong Kong is very, very prosperous. And yet, somehow, the people of Hong Kong understand that they must fight to maintain their liberty. They get that, old and young alike. King Chung says, they are squeezing our necks so we don't breathe the air of freedom. And so today we are out to tell the Communist Party that Hong Kong people have nothing to celebrate. We are mourning that in 70 years of Communist Party rule, the democratic rights of the people in Hong Kong and China are being denied, and we will continue to fight. And then one last thing. The protesters are saying this should not be a celebration. It should be marked as a day of grief. And so let them be in the sense of their spirit and their willingness to fight for freedom, because as Ronald Reagan said so clearly, we are never, every country, every society is only one generation from away from losing its freedom, because our children forget and our children's children forget. And so we have to inspire them that they have to fight if they want to remain free. They're going to have to fight for it, because there are always people that want to control the other people. And that's what we're seeing here in our country as well. Devin Nunes gave just a comment, a kind of an overview on a very short one of what he thinks is happening in regard to the impeachment inquiry and all of the fake, incredibly disingenuous stories we're hearing on television. This coup that we see coming to an head. It's just amazing. And here's what Devin has to say. Clip 8.
This was all concocted, okay? They are rushing to impeachment. They want to get impeachment done before December. Why? Because they know if they go into next year and drag the country through it, it'll continue to be a loser, right? So they have to move fast. One thing they learned with the Mueller probe is that the longer it sat out there, it started to rot, it started to smell, and likely a lot of those people are going to be in trouble.
Yeah, so he's right about that, and we're learning more about this. In fact, I just was reading quite a long article this morning about one of Adam Schiff's staffers going to Ukraine within about 12 days of this whistleblower complaint being filed and doing business with an organization that is funded in part by Burisma, which is that energy company in Ukraine that's the center of some of this anyway. And that Burisma works with George Soros, with Google. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons that the Democrats and I think some Republicans who are wavering is because they are up to their neck in corruption. That reminds me of a story I was going to share for later, but I had this yesterday. Mitt Romney. I got to get this right if I'm going to tell you. Mitt Romney is one of his partners is involved in Burisma, this holding company. Just a minute and I'll get it exactly. Mitt Romney advisor sits on Burisma board of directors. Now, remember, Burisma is connected financially with Soros, with the Rockefeller Foundation, and with Google. So you think there's a reason, maybe, I don't know, why Mitt Romney is cheerleading impeachment? Representative Adam Kinzinger is also cheerleading it. And he got pretty testy yesterday. And it came up about over this. The president retweeted a tweet by Dr. Jeffress, our friend and pastor from First Baptist Church Dallas, who's an advisor to the president. And the tweet said this: if the Democrats are successful in removing the president from office, which they will never be, it will cause a civil war-like fracture in this nation from which our country will never heal. The president retweeted that quote, but Adam Kinzinger was very offended by this and hit the wall. In fact, he said, I have visited nations ravaged by civil war, President Trump. I have never imagined such a quote to be repeated by a president, tweeted Kinzinger, an Air Force veteran who served as a pilot in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is beyond repugnant. Really? I would just say to Congressman Kinzinger, if I ever cared to interview him, which I don't, this is not the first thing he's done that has not won my approval, that's for sure. If he has seen war-torn areas, then he, of all people, should be the watchman on the wall warning. Because I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to understand that the tensions are growing in this country, so much so that there is a divide that's setting in that is much like a precursor to any civil unrest. If you read stories, if you know anything about the Civil War, you know this is how it started. Nobody wanted to fight. People didn't really, maybe, I think some of the Southerners were eager. They're the ones that, you know, shot the first shot. They were more warlike then. I mean, men were more willing to fight then. No question about it. Still, I don't think the population was crazy about picking up guns and shooting their brothers and sisters who disagreed with them. And yet that's what it led to, because slavery became a source of contention. Families were divided. And are your families divided over politics right now over President Trump, over his policies? Are you having problems in your own family, with your own friends, at work? You know that you are. And so for Kinzinger to say that it's outrageous, it's repugnant for Robert Jefferson, the president, to retweet it, that this is setting, this will start a civil war, is not a stretch, and it's certainly not repugnant. It's reality. And so, but this is the kind of people that are representing us. And you wonder why the president seems alone and fighting back. It's because we have people like Adam Kinzinger. We have people like Mitch McConnell. He says, oh, yeah, I have no choice. If the impeachment is tried in the House, I'll have no choice. But, you know, I read Michael Mukasey. He wrote in the Wall Street Journal just last night. Michael Mukasey was the former attorney general under George W. Bush. And Mukasey said, the Senate doesn't have to proceed. In fact, he gave a statistic about how many presidents had been tried for impeachment compared to how many times the way impeachment works, it's think of a jury, a grand jury, and then a trial. A grand jury convened to hear the evidence and to decide whether to indict. That's what the House does. They hear the evidence and decide whether to not indict but impeach. Same thing, interchangeable. And then it goes to the Senate where the trial is conducted. And so Mukasey said, no, it doesn't have to go to the Senate. But, of course, Mitch McConnell says it does. And so you can bet he's not going to push back. By the way, the Democrats, of course, are just feeling, man, they feel the oxygen on the flame. And they are just excited beyond measure. Rudy Giuliani now is being subpoenaed by four different committees. Everything, all of his email, all of his documents. And this is the accusation. The inquiry includes an investigation of credible allegations that Giuliani acted as an agent of the president in a scheme to advance his personal political interests by abusing the power of the office of president. It was signed by Elijah Cummings, Adam Schiff, and Elliot Engel. Sir, they're going to harass Rudy Giuliani, who knows more about what's happening in Ukraine than just about anyone, so they'll make his life miserable. I don't know how Giuliani's going to respond to that, but we'll see. Can't be easy. And so they are going full steam ahead. Now, here's the thing that's kind of inconvenient for them. They talk about President Trump, shockingly, talking to the Ukrainian ambassador about some help on what happened in Ukraine. And yet President Trump, back in May, outside his helicopter, at the base of his helicopter, actually told them exactly what he was going to do. Here it is, clip 11.
The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look, and I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything, because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country.
Yes, there was. And so, well, the headlines in the last 24 hours, part of it has been the president, we think he actually also talked to Australia, as though that's news. The president said very clearly he wants the attorney general to talk to these leaders and find out what happened. And now we find out that actually Australia, May of 2019, reached out to Attorney General Barr and said, look, we're going to help you. Alexander Downer, who was involved in the setting up Carter Page for that FISA, Alexander Downer, who was their former ambassador, is no longer with them. And they said, we are going to fully cooperate, whatever we can do to help you get to the bottom of this. And so it's a kind of everything that they say is a lie. Everything. And yet the news media is saturating you and me with the lies. And many of your friends are believing this. And that's why that new poll from Quinnipiac shows that I think it's the America is split down the middle, 47% to 47%. Those that want this procedure to proceed in the House, and those that don't want it to. Now, does that sound like maybe the makings of a cold civil war? Rush Limbaugh referred to it yesterday. I thought that was actually a great twist on it. Cold war, a cold civil war. I think they're right. All right, coming up next, Fred Flights, former CIA operative, to talk about that whistleblower. Stay tuned.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health. His agency consists of 27 separate institutes and centers conducting and funding biomedical and public health research. Proverbs 1:7 reminds us of the importance of obtaining wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Francis Collins as he leads the research efforts at the NIH. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. The Big Apple takes a bite out of words. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TMU. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TMU. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It is now illegal to call someone an illegal alien in New York City, even if that person happens to be an illegal alien. The city's Commission on Human Rights announced the ban on using the phrase illegal alien to demean, humiliate, or harass a person. It's also against the law to discriminate based on limited English proficiency. In other words, telling a person to speak English. The New York City human rights law is one of the most protective in the nation. Under the new guidelines, it is also an illegal act to threaten to call Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Aside from the Human Rights Commission clearly violating the First Amendment of the Constitution, who exactly gets to determine when the phrase illegal alien is used in a hateful way? I'm Todd Starn.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
In letters to the intelligence community watchdog Michael Atkinson, House and Senate Republicans zeroed in on this whistleblower complaint form and what they described as a recent change that appeared to lower the standard to secondhand information. House Republicans asked Atkinson to preserve records documenting the reported change, the timeline, and who apparently signed off. Quote, the timing of the removal of the firsthand information requirement raises questions about potential connections to this whistleblower's complaint. This timing, along with numerous apparent leaks of classified information about the contents of this complaint, also raised questions about potential criminality in the handling of these matters. The president tweeted his criticism, asking, quote, who changed the long-standing whistleblower rules just before submittal of the fake whistleblower report, Drain the Swamp? The Federalist first reported on the forms Friday, and since then other forms and analysis have surfaced that indicate there may not be a new hurdle. Based on the underlying statute, a former prosecutor and Fox News contributor said the preference was always for a direct account, indicating secondhand information might not go very far.
The statute has not been changed. So the statute always allowed secondhand information. But what the statute requires is for the IG to make a determination about credibility and whether something raises what they call an urgent concern under the statute.
U.S. government officials said the intelligence community watchdog has independent authority to administer the program, including changes to the complaint form. Fox News reached out to the ICIG press office, and in the last few minutes, we received this statement that reads in part, quote, the whistleblower submitted the appropriate disclosure of urgent concern form that was in effect as of August 12, 2019, and had been used by the ICIG since May 24, 2018. The whistleblower stated on the form that he or she possessed both firsthand and other information. The key thing that jumps out at me in that statement, Brett, is firsthand, and it's worth going back to look at that complaint that was provided to Congress to see if that syncs up.
All right, that was Catherine Herridge on Fox last night. And, of course, there's a lot of interest in who this whistleblower is and what that complaint was all about and why it was so long, I think 9 pages. There's much to say about it, but rather than me filling in the blanks, I want you to hear from Fred Flights. Fred, of course, has been a frequent guest. He is just a champion. He's been in the CIA as an analyst for a number of years and then moved to the White House to serve on the National Security Council. He is currently the president of the Center for Security Policy. And by the way, I'm just going to say this now. Fred was one of the top candidates to fill that post of Director of National Intelligence. It might have been him testifying before Congress a few days ago, but I think maybe in this case, thank goodness it wasn't. Fred, thanks for joining us this morning. Fred, are you there?
Yes, hello?
Okay, there. Did you hear my setup, Fred?
I did, yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, good. I just couldn't hear you back. Okay, just bottom line here. I have heard speculation about who this whistleblower is. I mean, is it really that hard to decide? If he was a former CIA agent and worked in the White House for a time, is it really that hard to determine who this is?
Probably not. And my guess is that this person's name will be leaked by someone. Look, I think that when you make charges like this, you should put your name on them. You should stand behind them. I think the president's insistence that he be allowed to face his accuser, I think that's legitimate. There's lots of people who file whistleblowing complaints for legitimate reasons, ethical reasons. There's others who file them for other reasons that are not legitimate. Maybe this person's a partisan. Maybe he has personnel problems. The American people and Congress and the president, they deserve to know that.
Do you think that it is a legitimate claim by his attorneys that his life is in danger?
No, I think it's ridiculous. I think we both know that when this person's name is known, he's going to be allowed to stay at the agency if he wants. He'll probably resign. He'll be given a contract with MSNBC and a book contract.
Yeah, right. And then he'll make his name known for sure. When he gets ready to do the book deal, you'll know his name. You've read the complaint, Fred. I'm sorry. Say what you're going to say your thoughts.
I mean, the world is full of Trump haters. Why is this person any different than anyone else? Isn't it? His life isn't in danger. This is. He's just trying to juice up this complaint to get more media.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, I'm assuming you've read that complaint. It's 9 pages long, and I confess to you, I have not read it yet. I've got it in my stack, but I want to know what you thought about it, Fred.
Well, I've seen a lot of whistleblowing complaints. This one was very odd. I mean, it's extremely well written, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything suspicious. There's a lot of legal references and legal language that suggests it was written by an attorney. And that, again, that's not enough to say that this complaint is really unusual. But the kicker for me was to combine these factors with the fact that the subject matter of this complaint was being discussed by Adam Schiff throughout the month of August. That Schiff posted a tweet in late August that almost identically reflected this complaint. And about a week to 10 days before the complaint was given officially to the Intelligence Committee, it leaked. The contents of the complaint leaked. And I, for my time in the Intel Committee, I know a lot of whistleblowers come directly to the committee, even though they're not supposed to. My guess is that this so-called whistleblower came to meet with Adam Schiff and Democratic lawyers on the committee probably in July or August, and they've been orchestrating with this whistleblower how to put this forward and how to make sure it does maximum damage to the president.
So others have said, and I think this is true, Fred, that this was probably the tee-up to springboard impeachment hearings, probably they were hoping for, but it's inquiry, which is almost just as bad. Sort of it's like an orchestrated effort to tee this up, even though it just, the facts that they are reporting, fact, I shouldn't use that word, the things that they are reporting around the news, even the way they're wording things like going after dirt on Joe Biden. When they talk about President Trump, they say investigating him. When they talk about Joe Biden, they say going after dirt. The differences, even on Fox, are pretty disturbing and seem all sort of orchestrated to lead to a certain outcome. And I think that this thing is just teeing up this impeachment inquiry. I do want to know. I don't know if you can say this, Fred. But do you think some are saying they think the Inspector General Acheson was complicit with trying to set this up because of his own background? Any thoughts about that?
I haven't seen any sign of that. I think that the DNI and the Inspector General, this was a difficult issue to handle. And the reason it's so hard to handle is that this is not an intelligence matter. I think they made a mistake in that regard. This is a dispute over policy. And this issue shouldn't have been with an intelligence inspector general. It shouldn't be with the intelligence committee. If someone has some type of complaint on the way the president's handling foreign policy decisions, he could go to the Justice Department, the FBI, Senate Foreign Relations Committee, one of the Armed Services Committee, but it doesn't belong in the intelligence realm. And to do so, to have Adam Schiff, aside from his extreme partisanship, to have him handle this in the Intelligence Committee is politicizing intelligence. Intelligence is not supposed to get involved in policymaking. This is really the wrong way to do this, even if there was something there.
Well, I guess some believe, and I think I'd throw my hat in that camp, that Atkinson should have known that. And I have in my hands the letter that Kevin McCarthy, Devin Nunes, and Jim Jordan have sent to the Inspector General. And it's a long letter, but I will just point out that it asks this question: during your tenure as Inspector General, how many other disclosures to the Inspector General were solely based on secondhand knowledge, and when were those disclosures received? So that goes to the other issue, Fred. We're hearing a little bit of conflict over whether that whistleblower complaint form was changed or wasn't changed. And so can you tell us, give us your insight on that?
Well, I've done a little research into this overnight. First of all, the law doesn't require firsthand information for a whistleblowing complaint, and I agree with that. We want complaints to be based on anonymous tips and uncorroborated information. You can't prosecute or bring a case based on that, but you can investigate. I mean, that's the way investigations are done. But the previous form, which this whistleblower used, said you have firsthand information or other types of information. The whistleblower clicked both boxes. Now, the Inspector General and others are trying to say it doesn't matter because the law doesn't require firsthand information, but this person said on the form he had firsthand information, and as your setup to this interview indicated, Captain Herridge said, we got to check the whistleblowing complaint because I read the complaint. He says he didn't have firsthand information. So which is it? Did he mislead or say something false in his original complaint on this form that he had firsthand information? Maybe he didn't have to have it. But I think it further undermines his credibility if he said he did have it.
Well, the other part is my understanding is that he points to a number of news sources that are publicly available as his sources to corroborate what he had heard, which is odd. Don't you think that's odd? I mean, as a CIA analyst, Fred, would you have ever reported on something you're investigating or looking into by using an article from, say, the New York Times or the Washington Post? Would you do that?
Of course not. I mean, this whole complaint was bogus. It's based on things that a variety of other people told him that he couldn't confirm was true. And given the partisan, the highly partisan atmosphere between some intelligence officers, not most of them, but some of them, and this president, it's hard to see how you could possibly construct a credible whistleblowing complaint based on this information. This person says he did not see the transcript in question. So I think since he didn't see the transcript question, didn't listen to his phone call, he had no business filing this complaint.
You know, I was just reminded yesterday that John Brennan, even this year, was encouraging members of the Intelligence Committee to file the Intelligence Community, to file whistleblower complaints and to file lots of them, just keep them coming. That, I just think that's a notable thing. Don't you agree?
Brennan has been such a disgrace as a former intelligence official. I think these people should be held at high standard. They should be graybeard senior statesmen and ambassadors for the intelligence profession. This guy is just basically one of the worst political hacks in this country. And other former senior intel officials who don't like the president, they've told me the same thing. They say they think he's an embarrassment and he should basically shut up.
You know, the thing of it is, it kind of like the FBI, the CIA is really taking a hit for at least half of Americans. And I just would be curious to know, Fred, you served there for such a long time, and I think most of us have the impression that there's no one left at the CIA that really still loves this country and its foundings. And it's kind of like they're all working against the current president.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Sandy. That could not be further from the truth. Okay. The vast majority of CIA officers are non-political. They're patriots. They work their hearts out no matter who's in the White House. There are many, many Trump supporters in the CIA. I know many of them. They hate what they see that's going on right now. The CIA has its share of bad apples like any other organization. Unfortunately, some of them drift to the higher levels of this organization. The CIA is not working against this president. And most officers are very loyal to this country. They're loyal to the president. Some of them are risking their lives to collect information to keep our country safe and to advance the president's foreign policy. So I have to disagree with you on that.
Well, I'm thrilled by that answer. I am thrilled by that answer. And I think that probably my people that I know that love the FBI would say the same about what's happening in that agency. Let's go back to something. I know you've been talking about this, Fred, because people have been reading your posts on this. And you talk about one of the things that is really concerning to you is the breach of protocol when it comes to the president's conversations with world leaders. Say a word about that, because you used to be involved in transcribing those calls. Explain what should happen and what didn't happen.
Well, the transcripts of these calls were very tightly held, and the president's critics and this whistleblower is trying to say that this represents corruption. They're trying to hide information. Yeah, the transcripts of this information was being concealed on a very secret computer system, because in the spring of 2017, federal employees were leaking these transcripts to the press. It is appropriate, when you have to protect something, that you put them on a secure computer system. There's nothing unethical or illegal about that. This is a manufactured complaint because the whistleblower wanted to use the word cover-up in his false complaint. Now, the few people who were privileged to have access to these discussions are not supposed to talk about them. And according to the whistleblower complaint, numerous people did. They spoke to the whistleblower, the so-called whistleblower, who was not on the dissemination list of these transcripts. They violated the trust of the president and the American people by revealing this highly sensitive executive privilege-covered information with someone who wasn't supposed to have it. That should be investigated.
Yes, absolutely. And, Fred, do you have... I know that in D.C. it's very discouraging because it's like a battering ram of the left. But do you have any sense that perhaps maybe the truth might win out here yet one more time in this latest attempt to take down this president?
Yes. I think the whistleblower is going to have to come before Congress and answer some tough questions. All this covering, all the maneuvers by Democrats and the media and his attorneys to spin, it's going to end when he has to answer questions under oath in front of Republican members of Congress. I think we'll then get to the bottom of what this is about, but we know what this is about. It's simply the latest effort to take down this president because other efforts by the Democrats failed.
Yes, no question about it. And I'm surprised, honestly, that the polls, the Quinnipiac poll showed yesterday that 47% of Americans are in favor of this impeachment inquiry, 47% opposed. And that bothered me. That actually surprised me because I kind of thought, if you'd ask me, that people are getting really tired of this and are able to see through what's happening. But I'm not confident of that right now today, if that poll's accurate. Anyway, Fred, president of the Center for Security Policy. And by the way, if you want to follow Fred on Twitter, it's @FredFlights, and you can follow what he's saying each day as this whistleblower makes himself known at some point. It will be fascinating. Fred, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and let's talk again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay. All right. Well, Sandy Rios in the morning. We have a lot more to talk about in regard to this, a lot more news that I'm going to get to, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. No one likes to suffer difficult circumstances. In this era of easy believism, it's often conveyed, if life isn't always smooth, we're doing something wrong. The scripture teaches us, however, that our Lord often meets fruitful branches with additional pruning. The pruning is not punishment. It's actually to make us even more fruitful. If you're in a rough spot right now, take heart. What may feel like the squeeze to end all squeezes could very well be the Lord's pruning for additional fruitfulness. When the Lord prunes us, he does so for our good.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Why engaging our kids is so important. Mm. Why it's so important that we don't make them feel like they are a burden, like we just can't wait until they're out of the way. Like, the proven fact is that if we disregard our children as they are growing, we are really risking their adherence to the faith as adults.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Folks, you know, I used to be a football fan. I stopped being a football fan. I could not stand the idea of people denigrating that flag and refusing to stand for it. My attitude about folks like that is, please leave. You ought to be thanking God every day of your life that you were born an American. I know that my country's not perfect, but I still love America.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. According to the Associated Press, the number and the rate of abortions across the country have plunged to their lowest level since the Supreme Court issued its wretched Roe v. Wade opinion in 1973. Abortions are decreasing in every part of the country, even in Democratic states that protect baby murder. Since 2011, the abortion rate has gone up in only five states. The abortion rate is now less than half of what it was in 1990, and there are fewer abortion clinics in America than there were at the beginning of the decade. Since 2011, 400 pro-life laws have been enacted around the country, and Planned Parenthood got aced out of $60 million a year by policies put in place by President Trump. Much work remains to be done. We cannot rest until every baby in the womb is welcomed in life and protected in law.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Today marks one of the darkest days in human history. It is the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. In the decades since, countless millions of people have been brutalized, brainwashed, and murdered at the hands of that extraordinarily repressive regime. To celebrate this appalling record, China's dictator for life, Xi Jinping, orchestrated a parade in Beijing. It was chock-a-block with 15,000 goose-stepping servicemen and women and an array of missiles and assorted weapons designed to destroy ever larger numbers of other people, including ours. It speaks volumes about the paranoid and dangerous character of Xi's regime that it locked down Beijing today and allowed the first use of actual bullets against Hong Kong protesters. Given the PRC's track record, we must expect that much worse is to come. We must not underwrite or silently accede to it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
He's wrong for a president to say that he wants you, another head of state, to create something negative about his possible political opponent.
Do you expect the testimony of the whistleblower?
Absolutely.
Your committee already has an agreement with the whistleblower that he will testify.
We have an agreement that he or she will testify, yes.
The statement I made to the president of Ukraine, a good man, a nice man, knew, was perfect. It was perfect. But the whistleblower reported a totally different statement.
Oh, we're trying to find out about a whistleblower.
Yeah, so that's the montage that was on Fox last night. And it just kind of reminds you of what's going on here. No. While Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and the pundits are waving their hands, talking about how it was an abuse of power for President Trump to talk to the president of Ukraine and allegedly, according to their narrative, but not according to the transcript, force or threaten to withhold money from Ukraine if they didn't investigate Joe Biden's son, who was Joe is going to be his 2020 campaign rival. And so this was a corruption at the highest levels. That's what they're saying. Of course, the transcript does not show that. Just to repeat, the transcript shows that what the president asked the Ukrainian president to do was a favor. Could you do me a favor? If you can do this, first of all, he asked about CrowdStrike, and I've explained that to you. CrowdStrike, by the way, turns out is connected to this Burisma, which is the energy company that, now this is really complicated, that Hunter Biden was a director for, and was making $85,000 a month working for them, and got, I think, $1 billion for his company. Burisma was connected to CrowdStrike. And so that's why President Trump is asking the president of Ukraine to find out about CrowdStrike, which was the entity that went into Mrs. Clinton's, to the DNC email to find out who hacked it. Because, again, the DNC would not allow the FBI to do that, would not allow them. And so the DNC hired the Ukrainian company CrowdStrike. And they are the ones that declared, oh, the Russians are the ones that hacked the email. Therefore, the Russians are the ones that interfered with the election. And that's the whole premise of the Mueller report. And that's the whole premise of the Democrats. And you can see why we've said all along that that wasn't true. I don't think that's true. Now, I still don't think it's true. And that's why the president kept saying he didn't think it was true. Lots of countries try to interfere with our elections. But if any country did successfully, it was Ukraine. And if you don't believe me on that, let me read to you from an article that came out in the Wall Street Journal just yesterday. Joe Biden isn't the only pillar of the Democratic establishment who won't enjoy the new spotlight on American relations with Ukraine. And President Donald Trump isn't the only one who wants a fuller accounting of that country's role in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. In a letter released on Monday morning, Republican Senators Chuck Grassley of Iowa and Ron Johnson of Wisconsin ask U.S. Attorney General William Barr if he's trying to answer the lingering questions. And here they are. We write to follow up on Senator Grassley's July 20, 2017 letter, which highlighted brazen efforts by the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton campaign to use the government of Ukraine for the express purpose of finding negative information on the candidate Trump in order to undermine his campaign. That letter also highlighted news reports that during the 2016 presidential election, quote, Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump, end quote, and did so by, quote, disseminating documents implicating a top Trump aide, they're talking about Manafort, in corruption and suggesting they were investigating the matter. Ukrainian officials also reportedly helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. Now, that's the quote that's part of that letter from Grassley and Johnson. Now, back to the article in the Wall Street Journal. The senators aren't relying on reports from conservative bloggers. The quotations came from a 2017 story in Politico, hardly a pro-Trump outfit. And this is what it says. Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. That was the headline. It was an article by Kenneth Vogel and David Stern. Quote, Kiev officials are scrambling to make amends with the president-elect after quietly working to boost Clinton. That was the subhead of the article. It was published shortly before Mr. Trump's inauguration. The authors reported that Ukrainian government officials, quote, helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors, end quote, with the goal of, quote, advancing the narrative that Trump's campaign was deeply connected to Ukraine's foe to the east, Russia. Wall Street Journal continues, with the benefit of hindsight, the results of the Mueller investigation, it's now clear that there was no evidence of Trump campaign collusion with Russia. What is not clear and what demands further investigation is how this baseless claim managed to consume the first 2 years of an American presidency. Politico's investigation found evidence of Ukrainian government involvement in the race that appears to strain diplomatic protocol dictating that governments refrain from engaging in another's elections. That's part of that political story, what I just read you. This article, I'm going to put this on our Facebook page, or we'll put it on. It's called Hillary Clinton and Ukraine. And is it clear? It was actually Mrs. Clinton who colluded with Ukraine and the DNC to blame Russia and then to pull Trump in and say that he cooperated with Russia to win the election. That's just, we have the evidence of this. And unless you forget, we'll put this on our Facebook page and you can share it with people because people are getting very confused about this. I want to read a letter, article by Michael Mukasey. I mentioned this article earlier, but he is the former attorney general under George W. Bush. He has a lot to say in here. He talks about impeachment in general, but then he says, the Justice Department statement makes explicit that the president never spoke with Attorney General William Barr about having Ukraine investigate anything relating to former Vice President Biden or his son, or ask him to contact Ukraine on this or any other matter, and that the Attorney General has not communicated at all with Ukraine. So they want to come after William Barr. The whistleblower uses his name in his 9-page complaint and talks about how I don't know what he says exactly. He's compliant or he's involved in that. What they're trying to do is get William Barr to have to recuse himself. And Mukasey's making it clear he had nothing to do with this and he never even contacted Ukraine. This is what happened. A Department of Justice team led by U.S. Attorney John Durham is separately exploring the extent to which a number of countries, including Ukraine, played a role in the counterintelligence investigation directed at the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. A book by Andy McCarthy suggests that during the 2016 campaign, the Federal Bureau of Investigation tried to get evidence from Ukrainian government officials against Mr. Trump's campaign manager, Paul Manafort, to pressure him into cooperating against Mr. Trump. It appears that Ukrainian officials who backed the Clinton campaign provided information that generated the investigation of Mr. Manafort. And then he goes on, Mukasey in his article goes on to say, I believe this is also the Wall Street Journal, it is. The president in his phone call, this is Mukasey talking now, he asked not about the Bidens, but rather about CrowdStrike, a private company hired by the DNC to conduct a forensic examination of the DNC server. And then he goes on to explain what I've been explaining to you about how the FBI never looked at it. So he said, by design, the founders are unconstrained by any considerations save political ones. In other words, the House and Senate in this examination of the president can do really whatever they want. It's not a court of law. It's different. The rules are different in that regard. But as they labor and occasionally preen in the limelight, Mr. Durham works quietly to determine whether highly specific criminal laws were violated, and if so, by whom. He is an experienced and principled prosecutor who has earned the confidence of attorneys general of both parties, including me. Stay tuned. All right, so that's Michael Mukasey. That's an encouraging article that I wanted to share with you. You know, here's a little interesting thing. You know that Adam Schiff is going apoplectic about the president, talking to the president of Ukraine, trying to get dirt, as he says, and as Fox and others keep repeating, they investigate Trump, but they're trying to get dirt on Joe Biden. You see the difference? You see how they use their words? Nevertheless, Congressman Gates, who we interviewed just a few days ago, has come up with a very interesting 2-year-old prank call in which 2 Russian radio hosts pose as Ukrainian politicians and have a conversation with Adam Schiff. And guess what happens during that conversation? Adam Schiff tries to get dirt on President Trump. Let's listen to a little bit of it. Here it is.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buseva where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely. And we also know who was a mediator between Trump and Russian government, who met with ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was the Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Ukupnik, who met with Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn in a special Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Okay. And
it's a special it's a Russian district in Brooklyn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they used a special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, "Weather is good on Deribasovskaya."
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa.
So it's a street in Odessa.
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya. Deribasovskaya.
Deribasovskaya. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details on
that. Yes.
And the second part of their password was it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes.
Well, I'll be in touch with the FBI about this, and we'll make arrangements with your staff. I think it probably would be best to provide these materials to both our committee and to the FBI.
All right, so what's happening there? Again, this is that's a prank call. And that was the voice of Adam Schiff, who thinks he's talking to two Ukrainians. They were posing as Andriy Paruby, the former speaker of Ukraine's parliament, one of them. These are Russian shock talks. Now, it's funny, but it's not funny. Because Adam Schiff, it goes on, they talk about having nude pictures of President Trump. And Adam Schiff is trying to get dirt from a foreign government, Ukraine, on President Trump. So I'm just saying, and that's what Adam, Congressman Gates is saying. You know, it's just hypocrisy at the highest levels, and that's a very good example of that. I want you to hear a little bit from Peter Schweizer. He was on with Tucker Carlson last night. Peter is the definitive expert on what's happening with the Bidens and their business dealings. It's not just the Bidens, but he talks about the Bidens, and I want you to at least hear this clip. Let's listen. Clip 13. Clip 12.
What did we hear in 2017?
Well, I think it adds up to is the Biden family cashing in through by corruption, by proxy. Joe Biden is vice president, or his wife Jill Biden can't take payments from foreign entities. That would have to be disclosed. That would be easy to catch. But you set up your adult kids. And in the case of the Bidens, Joe Biden was point person for the Obama administration towards two countries, China and Ukraine. And lo and behold, the two countries that Hunter Biden ends up doing the most business in overseas are China and Ukraine. And the amounts of money are astronomical, and the deals that he got have absolutely nothing to do with his background. He had no expertise to sell. He had no skill set to sell to either the Chinese or Ukrainians. He was being paid for something, Tucker. It certainly wasn't his skill set. I think we know what he was being paid for. I think the rules are different for certain people. Look, does anybody really believe that those news anchors, if we were talking about Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. going to Ukraine and Don Jr. getting, by the way, Hunter Biden was being paid $83,000 a month. We know that because we have the bank records, the Morgan Stanley account.
All right, I'm going to interrupt Peter because we're running out of time, but you get the point. You know, could I just suggest, I do think that the American people need to know the truth here, and I'm not sure you're getting it in very many places. There's still some places on Fox, thank goodness, Rush Limbaugh and others, Mark Levin and this show. And so you might want to share the app for this show. It's AFR Talk, American Family Radio. And people can listen later on a podcast, but we'll be bringing you the best information that we have from sources close to this issue. And so I hope that you'll stay tuned and also share it with your friends and neighbors, because heaven knows, our people need to know the truth, or we will lose our democracy. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.